Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ethos Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Saboo, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Ethos Limited Quarter 2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. I hope everyone had a chance to view our financial results and investor presentation, which were recently posted on the company's website and stock exchanges. I am accompanied by our Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Yashovardhan Saboo, and our CFO, Mr. Ritesh Agarwal, and SGA, our investor relations advisor, on this call today. Let me give you an overview of our H1 FY24 performance. For Quarter 2 FY24, revenue from operations is up 32.4% to 235.2 crores from 177 crores in Q2 FY23. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 39.8% YOY to rupees 41.5 crores in Q2 FY24. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY24 stood at 17.3% against 16.4% in H1 FY23. PAT for Q2 FY24 was 18.6 crores as compared to 13.6 crores in Q2 FY23, which grew by 37.1% on YOY basis. We got an advantage of a late Shradh in this quarter. Last year, Shradh was in Quarter 2, whereas this year it is in Quarter 3. For H1 FY24, revenue from operations is up 32.4% to 465.2 crores from rupees 351.3 crores in H1 FY23. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 35.9% YOY to rupees 80.1 crores in H1 FY24. EBITDA margin for H1 FY24 stood at 16.9% against 16.5% in H1 FY23. PAT for H1 FY24 was rupees 36.7 crores as compared to 26.4 crores in H1 FY23, which grew by 39.4% on a YOY basis. PAT margin for H1 FY24 stood at 7.7% against 7.4% in H1 FY23. Inventory days as on 30th September 2023 stood at 159 days at sale. Gross debt is rupees 6.9 crores as on 30th September 2023. Cash and bank balance stood at 178.8 crores as on 30th September 2023. Share of exclusive brands for H1 is 31%. Revenue from certified pre-owned watches grew 34% YOY to rupees 32 crores in H1 FY24. Before we go for the Q&A part of our discussion, allow me to highlight a few points. The luxury consumer segment in India is upbeat. International luxury brands see affluent Indian consumers as an increasingly important segment for their business. Experts estimate that the luxury market in India will expand fivefold over the next decade as the number of affluent consumers in the country continue to multiply with higher aspirations and disposable incomes. The increase in purchasing power is not restricted to metros but also extends to Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. This represents an unprecedented opportunity for retailers of premium and luxury products like us. luxury watches are not only functional but also serve as a status symbol and a store of wealth. Luxury watch manufacturers are recognized for their rich heritage and their reputation for very high quality technical excellence and aesthetic appeal. High-end luxury watches are characterized by the highest levels of accuracy, performance, quality, and attention to detail. With this conviction, we continue to pursue our strategy, which has proven successful, to build a formidable portfolio of brands supported by the highest quality omni-channel structure of best-in-class boutiques and active digital platforms and communication. During this quarter, we have also added four brands under our exclusive brand portfolio. First and foremost, we are proud to announce our exclusive retail partnership with Ulysse Nardin, one of the best-known Swiss watch brands in the high luxury segment. One of its most famous creations, the Freak, a unique timepiece that tells time without a dial or hands, won the award for the most iconic watch in the recently held Grand Prix d'Horlogerie de Genève in Switzerland. Ulysse Nardin is also well known in India, where it has been present for nearly two decades and has now decided to work exclusively with Ethos to strengthen its presence in the rapidly growing Indian market. But this is not all. We have also signed retail partnerships with three other Swiss brands, namely Nevada Gresham, Gerald Charles, and Chrono Swiss. More information about these amazing brands is available on our website. We are also extremely excited to share that on 31st October 2023, we opened our first Remova boutique in India at the prestigious Geo World Plaza in Mumbai's BKC. Remova is a part of LVMH, is part of the LVMH brand portfolio. This store is approximately 500 square feet and the first signs of sales have been extremely encouraging. This marks our presence in the luxury space outside of watches. Allow me now to give you a few more updates regarding the quarter. Recently, we successfully completed our QIP. The QIP of rupees 175 crores was backed by leading institutional investors, reaffirming our belief on the India luxury market story and our company. This capital enhancement gives us the needed firepower to accelerate and to capture the many opportunities in the luxury watch and related product businesses that we see imminent for India in the coming future. I don't want to end this part without a mention of Power Luba, the Swiss watch brand that our group has invested in. Work on the relaunch of this iconic and amazing brand is well underway, and I can assure you that this will be a Swiss watch brand that will achieve Himalayan heights in the years to come. I would like to end by saying that the greatest source of our inspiration and confidence is the Indian economy, the dynamism and the optimism of the confident global young Indian. India is on track to break records and we will play our part in bringing the Indian economy to new heights. With this, I open the floor for questions and answers. I invite and request our chairman, Mr. Yashow Sabu, to join this exciting conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Hi. Many congratulations on the QIP raise, exclusive partnership with Ulysse Nardin, and festive greetings as well. Sir, first question is on the sharp increase in ASP sequentially. So wanted to check if these levels are sustainable or there is some one-off in this. And a light question to this is that on the other hand, volume growth is little subdued in this quarter. Is it due to shift of season between Q2 and Q3, and this trend should reverse in Q3 as we sort of progress?
Okay. Hi, Devanshu. Are these your only questions, or can you list them also? We can answer them.
Sure. The second one is on the working capital front. This time around in H1, there is an increase of about 75 crore, and we have also sort of incurred a CapEx of about 18 crore in H1, which is slightly higher than the guided run rate for six new stores that we have opened. So just a better understanding on the capital investment in H1 will be helpful. The last question from my end is we have raised this additional 175 crore of money in the QIP, and most of the investments, as we know, in our business are in the working capital front. So wanted to check between the trade-off between funding growth through equity versus taking a working capital debt, and if there is any change in the growth outlook with this amount of capital that we have raised. So these are the three questions.
Right. So Devanshu, let me start. Yes, the ASP has risen sharply. I don't think this is influenced by one or two exceptional items. I think it's pretty much normal. You've seen that in the past that this is an impact of the fact that we are getting out, continuing to get out of lower price points and into brands at a higher price point. So there's a continuing effect of that. I expect it to stabilize a little, the increases to not be as sharp in future. And as far as volume growth is concerned, volume growth will be there. However, we are still getting out from the lower price point segments. So in each price segment, there is volume growth, but overall, we are not seeing it. I think you're going to start seeing the trends of volume growth in the quarters to come. Your second question was regarding working capital. It's difficult to sort of see this over only six stores because it depends on what are the stores, what is the size of the stores, and so on. I think overall, we are well within. This is a very well-controlled thing. Please also understand that the increase in stock is not only based on new stores. It is also based on new brands that we are signing. So a lot of the new brands, the investment in stock is front-ended, and the sales follows obviously after there is some lag between the time we invest in the brand and by the time the sale picks up. So as we are adding new brands, this is a front-ended thing. But overall, I think we are well within the norms that we have given. Your last question is about the QIP, 175 crores. I believe the opportunities that we see imminent that Pranav also referred to, these are very striking. They are very real. We can see them. One of them we've just announced, Unisnadé. I'm sure anybody who's an enthusiast about watches in this segment fully understands the important significance of this tie-up, Unisnadé. It was a highly visible brand in India, and they've been here for 20 years, and now they've decided to come exclusively with Ethos. This is an opportunity that we have been discussing and pursuing. Now we have the pleasure of actually announcing it. And similarly, there are other important opportunities, and we want to be ready for that. As and when these come, we will obviously capitalize on them, and this will make sure that the growth in the company continues to be high and not sort of plateau out. We believe the opportunity in India is going to remain very strong over the next five to 10 years, and therefore, we believe our growth should also remain commensurate with that.
Great, sir. Lastly, just a follow-up on this. Any thoughts on our preference for equity versus debt?
That's been discussion. We are not ruling out debt, but of course, we have always been very prudent about the kind of debt levels we keep. We have not ruled out that, and if it is required, we will take a bit of debt as well.
Got it. On Ulis Nadan, any guidance or outlook that you can provide on current scale of business in India since they are operating for 20 years?
We have not been part of Ulis Nadan for the last few years, so it's difficult to comment on that. But of course, we have exciting plans and you will see them unfolding.
Great, sir. That's it from mine. Many congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Really, sir, Shabu sir, it is a fantastic result. Sir, when last IPO you came out in May 22, you made allocation to use 339 crore, out of which still 90 crores are pending to utilize. Again, you come out with the QIB to raise 150 crore recently. You might be aware that raise of the equity is always costlier than debt. Why you took this decision?
Okay. I think I'm to in the answer to Devanshu, but do you have any other question, Ravi?
Our average selling price rise from 84,000 to 1,87,000 in 3.5 years. So any figure in your mind after 3 years, what will be average selling price?
Okay.
But
anything else?
My question.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
I will answer the first one. I think the decision on whether we're going to fund with equity or debt, that's one of the classic questions in any kind of business enterprise. As I mentioned already to Devanshu, we are not averse to taking debt, and if necessary, we will take debt. You are right, there is some funds left over from the IPO. I want to just emphasize something that I have emphasized in the last call as well, and that is that at the time of the IPO, we had foreseen an expansion to about, from that time, about 50 stores. We had expected an expansion to about 70 to 75 stores, of which 13 were included in the IPO document. In the last 1.5 years, what we have experienced is that the undercurrent of growth in the Indian market is far more robust than was evident 18 or 24 months ago. And this is, and also that a lot of this growth is coming and the purchasing power is coming from tier 2 and tier 3 cities. We have also discovered that to fully capitalize on this increase in purchasing power, physical presence in some of these new geographies is very important. Therefore, there has been a modification in our strategy where we believe it is important to establish a greater spread of physical stores into tier 2, tier 3 cities and also in some suburban areas of the large metros where we are not present. Consequently, our strategy changed not only to go up to 75 stores, but actually over the next 4 years to go up to 145 to 150 stores. So there is a very large and accelerated rollout of stores, and consequently also related to that, signing up of new exclusive brands. And for this, we needed the extra funding. We believe the opportunity in the Indian market has expanded and will remain high, and we are in the best position today to exploit this opportunity, capitalize on this opportunity. And we believe this is one of the spirits of entrepreneurship that India is now famous for, is that when we see an opportunity, we go for it and we capitalize on it. About your second question regarding the average selling price.
Hello, management. I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. So there's a lot of there's an echo in the line. So I will try reconnecting you back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We have got the management team back on the line right now.
Okay. My apologies. I don't know. There was some problem in the connection. There was an echo. I hope it is better now. Ravi, are you there?
Mr. Ravi Naredi, are you there?
I think his line has dropped, so we'll take the next question.
Okay.
Okay. The next
question. But if he comes back, his questions are not answered, so I'd like to answer them.
Definitely, definitely, sir. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonalwala from Samasa Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, firstly, happy Diwali to the whole team and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Basically, I have two questions. My first question is, in terms of, are there any top retailers around the world or in developed countries or, you know, any watch markets that are big where retailers own a brand that like we do in terms of Fabuluka, and any other similarities in terms of average selling prices or the number of brands they own? If you can throw some light on that, what kind of a trajectory we might be following. My second question is just trying to understand when we sign up a brand, what is their expectation in terms of showcasing their watches in all our stores of the space we give them? So how does the conversation go about in that form? If you can, these are the two questions. Thank you.
Happy Diwali to you as well, Bhavya. Thank you very much for your good wishes. Your first question was, you know, which are the other big retailers and what are the policies they follow? There are, in most of the large developed countries, there are a couple of, you know, big names that span these countries. The biggest, of course, is Bucherer, which is active in Europe and USA. In Europe, there's also Wempy. In UK and USA, there is Watches of Switzerland. In the Far East, you have Hourglass. You have Cortina Watch. In China, you have Tai Chai Fook and Emperor. So there are a couple of large chains, and you know, and each of them has their own policies and strategies. You asked a question whether they also own brands. Many of them do. As we understand, many of the large retailers are also taking investment or, you know, taking a position as an investor in some of the upcoming new independent brands. Independent brands are brands that are not affiliated to any of the large four or five large groups, but are actually distinguished by very high quality, innovative, independent watchmaking. And many of our exclusive brand portfolio also consists of such independent brands. So yes, more and more of the globally large retailers are taking an important position and acquiring a brand portfolio of the independent brands. I think as a large retailer, we have sort of anticipated the trend towards independent brands a little bit ahead of some others, and you can already see the impact that this has had on us. Of course, it has created a very differentiated portfolio and created a big moat for us vis-a-vis other competition. So it's, of course, we monitor other retailers to the extent we can get information. We try to learn good practices from them. But we also recognize that we don't have to follow everything completely, because India is India. The Indian consumer is a global consumer now, but also different. And we understand the Indian consumer better than any other global retailer. So while we want to learn from everybody, we also want to create our own strategies which are uniquely positioned for our success and for the Indian market. Your second question was also very interesting, Bhavya. It was regarding the expectation of brand. You know, different brands have different positioning and different size of production, different budgets, expectations. And so, you know, what we negotiate with them is not really based on a standard template. For example, there are some brands in our exclusive portfolio which have very limited production, and therefore there is no point to have them in more than three or four stores in our network. And that's what we do. While others have a more widespread appeal, have a more you know, a lower price point, and they may be present in most of our multi-brand stores. And here again, a lot depends on what is the range of their offering, what is their collection size, their product size, how many SKUs we're going to stock, what is the expectation of their sale, what is the agreement with them. So these are all, there's no standardized template, but of course we reach a win-win agreement with every brand so that their goals are achieved and our goals are achieved.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much for your time and
thank
all
you.
The best.
Thank you, Bhavya.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, I was very much in line, but you could not listen me that time. Our average selling price rise from...
Ravi, excuse me, I had your question. I have your question. I'm ready
okay,
to answer
okay.
I'm sorry that we had to drop off. Your question was that our average selling price has increased from 84,000 to 185,000 in a few years, and what is the expectation of this in a three-year period going forward, correct? So while it is difficult to, you know, give a forecast for average selling price, because a lot depends on which part of the brand portfolio will start to do well, but we can say that the average selling price will go up. The increase in average selling price will not be as sharp as it has been in the last year. I'll tell you why. Because one big reason for the increase has been that we have cut out the lower price segments in the last 3 years. That is almost getting fully cut out now. So the increase will be a little more gentle than it has been in the past. There will be an increase. What exactly it will be, we cannot really say at this moment. Difficult to sort of predict that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thank you for taking my question. So my first question is again in the capital raise. So if I look at our current balance sheet, we have around 180 crores kind of cash, and even considering the kind of expansion plans we have, and given the fact that we are now doing a very good margin and profitability, which will generate a decent amount of cash flows as well. So I'm not able to understand this, sort of preemptive rush to kind of raise equity capital and that to offer this quantum. Though in your presentation, you have indicated that you're looking to invest in the Ferreluba brand. So have we materialized any amount of a quantum of money that you're looking to invest in, over what time frame, if you can highlight that? So that's the first question. Secondly, our store addition this quarter has been soft. I think we added just one store, which is lower than the kind of aggression we have seen and the kind of expectations that you have. So is it more of a transitional issue, and H2 we will see a lot more store addition, if you can highlight that. And lastly, just a data of what was the SSG for the quarter. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ankush. So the last one is easy to tell you. The SSG for the quarter was 23%.
Okay.
I come back to your first question, where you said, what is the big rush to raise the capital? Ankush, trust me, we understand that raising capital is not inexpensive. And we have only done it to make sure that as the opportunities come, which are imminent, I'm not in a position to speak about opportunities that are still, in the pipeline. But the opportunities are there. We need to be in a position to capitalize on those. And the 180 crores of cap or money that we still have left over from the IPO, of course, that has been taken into consideration when we are looking at each of the next 2 years. It's not possible right now to share exactly how this amount would be allocated, but the largest part of it is going to be for working capital, for the new stores and for the new brands that we are signing, and some of it of course will be used for the capex as well. Please also note that we have taken into account the
profit that we are generating as well. You mentioned that we are not generating any sizable profit. I think for a business in the luxury segment.
No, actually, I mentioned that you are generating a lot of margins and cash flows, so that also will suffice.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood that. Yes, we have taken that into consideration as well. So I hope that over the next several quarters, you will see a continuing growth and investment in the new opportunities, which will ensure that the growth trajectory that we are on is going to continue in line with the growth of the Indian market. Your last question was regarding, one store, only one store being added in this quarter. It is true that we expected more stores to be added. The reality of the situation is that most of our stores are signed up in malls, and the malls have a certain target date for opening, and our own schedule of opening is tied up with those dates. But if the mall's opening gets delayed, then unfortunately we don't have a choice but to wait, and that pushes the schedule for the opening of our stores as well. So some stores, some malls which were slated to open in this quarter not opened, and we are now informed that they will be opening in December or January. We are ready for that, and I definitely think that H2 will see a much higher store opening rate.
Got it. So lastly, just a clarification. I think you stated that you are looking at 140 to 150 store target in next 4 years.
Yes.
Okay. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That 140 to 150 stores, the balance, it is not additional.
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify, yeah. that's not yeah, additional
store count.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Saksha Mantu from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Mr. Sabu. Congratulations for good setup numbers. Just two quick questions from my side. Firstly, if I look at your top line on a sequential basis, while your ASP has risen sharply, it indicates that there would be some volume declines. You highlighted that you have been downsizing the lower price points. Just wanted to clarify, the entire volume decline, is it entirely due to the downscaling of these lower price points? That was question one. Another one for me is on the new stores that you have opened over the past year. So how is really the return matrices coming through in those stores and also the demand? So those were my two questions.
Thank you, Saksha. Thanks for your kind words. On the ASP, yes, it has gone up. I don't agree with your conclusion that volume has gone down. In fact, for example, in the last quarter, volume compared to the same period last quarter, it has remained steady. So volume has not gone down. And if we compare price segment-wise, then the greatest decline is in the price segment below 50,000 rupees. Whereas above 1 lakh rupees or above 2 lakh rupees, quantities have gone up, and of course ASP has consequently gone up as well. So we can conclude that the slowing down or the stagnation in volume that we have seen in some quarters is essentially only because of the exiting of the lower price point. And in the higher price points in each of the group price segments, volume has actually gone up. As far as the new stores are concerned, we have opened now in the last 12 months, if I exclude this last quarter, June to June, we have opened 12 stores. And out of the 12 stores, all of them have now crossed they are breaking even or are profitable. In fact, some of them started breaking even as early as the third month of operation. So the new stores are doing well, and we expect the same trend to continue.
Sure, sir. Thank you for that. Just to follow up on your stores. So the stores that my question was mainly on the new stores which are getting opened in, non-metro markets. So some sense on demand environment from those cities?
So many of the stores that were opened in the last 12 stores are actually in non-metro cities. And we see a strong demand. The reason why we have actually expanded or our strategy to expand the store count, which I mentioned in the last discussion, the last question, is also because through our website, through our monitoring mechanism, social media, there is a lot of interest now coming from the tier 2 and tier 3 cities. And not only interest, there is a lot of knowledge and information about fine watchmaking, high-end watchmaking coming from these cities. And that is the reason why we have chosen to expand our network to these cities. And correspondingly, we are seeing the same kind of response.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Podar from Invesco Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the results. Just two questions. So,
Hi, Manish.
Hi, sir. So, just two questions. So, if I have to think about the cost of doing business or the cost of retailing, is this a normalized run rate? Because, let's say, quarter one, you did roughly 36 crore spends, and this quarter is also another 36 crore spends, despite you adding more stores. So, how should one look at this number on a steady state? First thing is that. And the second thing is, in the second business, I believe you all have also started doing bags. So, can you help me understand?
You'll have to repeat the questions. They're not very clear, Manish.
Yeah. Is it better? Sorry. Hello?
Yeah, this is better. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to understand our cost of retailing, which is largely staff cost plus other operating expenses. This quarter is roughly about 36 crores, which was the same as quarter one last quarter. And despite us adding more stores and, you know, the regular cost inflations which are there generally. So I'm just trying to understand, is this the steady run rate to think about it when you add more stores? And the second one is, in the second business, I believe you have also started doing bags. So can you help me understand the opportunity up there? Because I thought watches was the only playbook right now, but you all have also started bags up there. So,
So as far as the cost base is concerned, I think it's difficult to just compare one quarter with another. Of course, as stores go up, there is an up end, the front ending of the costs. And sometimes the cost is, you know, may happen. Actually, they may start even 1 or 2 months ahead of when the store is really starting. So I don't think we can just compare one quarter to the other and say that this is going to be a steady state. As stores increase, the cost of course increases, and the cost at of course at corporate or at head office level for central functions also goes up a bit, but not at all in the same same proportion, which is what then leads to leverage, operating leverage. So cost at store level will actually rise proportionate to the number of stores when we take them, you know, over a longer period. As far as the second pre-owned market is concerned, I think there are some bags which were started on an experimental basis, because there is a market for bags. Most of the businesses in pre-owned internationally work in product groups beside watches as well. So there is, there's always the desire to know how it works and so on. But the focus is completely almost fully on watches and not into other product categories at the moment.
So, just two bits if I can ask. What I'm trying to understand is, in the cost base, there are no one-offs in this quarter. Let's say you've not cut any spends or any expenses as such during this quarter, right?
Manish, we have added only one store during the quarter. So you're comparing with last quarter to this quarter, and there is a change in cost. Q2 is 41.5 crore versus 38.6 crore. So there is a marginal increase because of the addition of one store. Okay. If you have many other stores added, then the cost will change.
No, I get it. And just this second bit on the seconds. So let's say if you want to experiment with new categories, would let's say shoes or, you know, because there's a thing on sneakers also, right? So would you have piloted the other categories? Any sense of those?
You know, there is a huge market of seconds across the world on so many product categories. Now, while we want to stay informed about things and we might do something to experiment, as I told you, our focus for the moment is going to be on watches.
Okay, fair enough. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Manish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from PKD Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on your results. And I'm sorry in case I'm making you repeat something that I joined 15 minutes late. But first, I just wanted to, there are a couple of things I wanted to understand. One was that how is the new ventures, which is the secondhand store, the secondhand sales of watches and the suitcases, how they have grown over the last couple of quarters and what are we expecting in going forward?
Okay, do you have any other questions?
Yes, the second question I wanted to understand was to get a sense from you that what, from an India perspective, what do you think the TAM of watches is, the growth and our market share and how that's moving?
Okay, any other questions or you are limiting it to two questions, right?
So because they just asked me to, I have many more.
Sure. No, I think that's fair. So Parikshit, if you read our report that we've uploaded, Rimowa opened on 31st October, right? So it's been about 2 weeks. So I'm not really able to give you much data for, previous quarters, but the sales in the first 2 weeks have been far greater than what we had expected. And we are very excited about Rimowa. About second movement, again, there has been the fact that our second movement lounge at Saket Delhi, it was out of operation for a long period because the mall itself went into renovation. Despite that, the second movement business has grown very well and it has grown compared to last year's same period by 34%. So I think we are well off on that as well. Your second question was regarding TAM, the market size, and what is our market share. Because the market share depends on different segments within the watch market. There is a report of Technopak Advisors, which is in the public domain. It's part of our QIP document as well. We are happy to send that to you. That deals with the market size of India in what we believe is good calculation, and thereafter it's easy to calculate the market share. Oh, in the luxury segment, we believe our market share is a little in excess of 20%, about 21% as per our calculation.
So the number that I seem to recall triangulating from there was about, in the luxury segment, the place that Ethos plays at, was about 1,500-2,000 crores. Is that approximately what you're also saying?
I'm not able to remember the numbers of every segment, but I think it would be best to refer to that report. It's an updated report and it's probably good to get to that.
All right, and let me come back. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Kumar, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Sir, you attributed lower number of store growth in Q2 to delay in mall opening. So I would like to know, in this kind of delays, will you be compensated by the, mall owners?
Okay. What's your other question?
The other question is that, your Rimowa store was open on October 1st. So I would like to know the future prospect of that and what would be the revenue growth you're expecting from that line of business.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. So, unfortunately, if the malls don't open on time, there is no provision for us to get compensated. Mall owners are businesses, and it's a little one-sided the way it works. But, to be fair also to the malls, I think they themselves sometimes have delays whether it's in construction, whether it's in getting approvals and so on. So, but to we're not compensated if the malls are delayed by a few months. If the mall delay is much longer than that, then of course we have the option of, you know, cancelling our arrangement and getting our money back. But usually if it's a good mall, it's better to still hang in there and wait for the opening, because we have seen that a good mall, those are typically the malls we go to, they have a very good high success rate. Your question regarding Rimowa, we've opened the store right now. The first responses are absolutely amazing. We, of course, Rimowa as a brand is doing excellently globally. It's expected to be a $1 billion brand soon. And we are in discussion with them to open other stores in India as well, provided we can find the appropriate locations, which we are working on. To be able to say what is the kind of growth of this business, we have to be able to first project how many stores of Rimowa we are going to open in the next 3 to 5 years. And that really depends a bit on Rimowa. Their position was, let's open the first store, see the response, and then we will plan. Now that the store is opened, we hope that we will be able to discuss and chart out a growth path for Rimowa over the next 3 to 5 years.
Understood. Just a quick follow up on that store open number. You know, if things were to go as per your expectation, what is the number we were looking in Q2? And is it safe to assume that whatever numbers we missed in Q2, they fall back in Q3?
Sorry, I didn't understand that question.
Sorry, you know, you said there was a miss on store opening in Q2, right, because of delay in mall opening. So just
yes.
if things had gone as per your expectation, what was the number there?
I wouldn't have that number right away, but I think we were to open, the general idea was to open about 6 stores every quarter in this year.
Right. I got it, yeah. Thank you so much. I'll go back and queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jasmine Surana from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi. Many greetings for the festive season gone by. I have a question on your comment about the tier 2 and beyond cities where you're entering. But you also commented that you are exiting a price range. So I kind of wanted to understand what are the price segments which have become attractive to the tier 2 and beyond cities. That was my first question. And the second one would be, so recently there was a report by Business Insider which said that the industry of the second, which said the industry of the pre-owned watches is declining on a regular basis. So we are seeing that there's a fall in the price of the luxury watches as well. So what is your view on that? As for India operations, do you see the trend coming into India, or do you see that India has still not reached the place where the prices of the luxury watches could be seen coming down?
Right. Thank you, Jasmine. Your first question, T2 and T3. Look, in T2 and T3 series, the demand for watches is across all price segments. We expect it to be robust. Even though we've exited the price point below 50,000, we expect the demand to be pretty robust in the price point 50,000 to 3 lakhs and even 3 lakhs to 5, 6 lakhs in the tier 2 and tier 3 cities. And we are actually seeing that in cities like Guwahati, Ludhiana, and many other such cities. So as far as the trend of pre-owned watches and the prices of luxury watches coming down, I think there is a, you know, all these reports of prices coming down, it is based on a few models of watches of a few brands which became very iconic, and they came in the news because the prices of second-hand watches increased by 3 times in the post-COVID boom. And having gone up 3 times from the price of a new watch, they have now declined by, let us say, 50% or 30%, but they are still higher than the price of the pre-owned watch. So it's a very selective view which is leading to this thing. We don't see any such trend. There is a, as we said, you know, our business has grown over the last year by 34%, and we expect the steady growth to continue in the a business of second-hand watches.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Malhotra from JM Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yes, a simple question. I see your sales have nearly doubled in the past 5 years. Do you expect the same run rate going forward? Secondly, on your margins, you have come a long way. I see them peaking out currently. So what's your view on that? Is your current category mix going to help in that regard as well?
Okay. So, yeah, a run rate, we expect the growth to continue. It's difficult to project 5 years in advance in every year. For example, in this year, we had projected at the beginning of the year that we will grow by about 25% plus during the year. Actually, in the first two quarters, we have grown by more than 30%, as you have seen. So we are hoping that, growth is going to continue. Exactly how much it's going to be, we don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be more than the market. So we're going to gain market share and we're going to increase our profitability. Your second question was regarding margins. Yes, there's been a growth in margin, largely due to our strategy of change in product mix, going to large flagship stores. So to that extent, there will be some improvement in margin, especially coming out of operating leverage. However, from a brand perspective, I think we are close to optimum levels of margins. Overall, I think margin improvement will happen in future as we add stores and we get operating leverage.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyam from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi sir. So I have two questions with regards to a jewelry space you have entered. So can you please share the long-term strategy here? As we are expecting, can we expect going back to this category to be significant part of the overall sales? As the overall jewelry market in India has a large opportunity compared to the watch segment. Second question is on the margins profile in this segment. How are the margin profile compared to the watch? And are we looking to add more brands or any in-house brands going to be in this segment?
Priyam, we are still in very, very early days in the jewelry segment. The jewelry segment is a very exciting segment for the future. We are talking about international branded jewelry. It's still taking hold in India, but we are convinced that over the next 5 to 10 years, it will be a very strongly growing market. However, right now, it's still very early days. We've signed on one brand. We are still waiting for the first boutique of the brand to open. So it's a little too early to sort of make any assessment on that. The margins, the margins are similar or could be better than watches. But again, it's still early days to do that. We don't expect the jewelry business to have much impact on the overall numbers for the next 2 or 3 years. But after that, I believe it will start to show up and become a second engine or an additional engine of growth for the company.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samisha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Pallavi.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand what would be our investment in Faber Luba. Last quarter, you said you finalize it and let us know in this quarter. And second question would be on the gross margin side, if there is any FX loss or anything on that side that's impacted the gross margin.
Okay, so your first question was, what's the investment in Faber Luba? We are still working on the plans for Faber Luba. A global launch of the brand is planned for next year. And of course, a large part of the strategy and the product finalization is done in Switzerland. The watches are going to be produced in Switzerland. And that is still work in progress. So I'm afraid I can't give you too much detail other than what we already shared, which was the cost at which we invested to acquire the brand. But of course, as we go forward, as the new product strategy and marketing strategy is forged, which will take probably another 2 quarters, we will be able to project the investments that will be needed. There are, of course, ballpark estimates, but these are not accurate enough to share. What I can share is that we have very exciting plans for the brand at a global level, and you will see this starting to unfold in the next fiscal year.
Right. Secondly, wanted to understand any FX gain or loss in this first pass.
Just 1 minute. Yeah. Ritesh, will you answer this?
There will be Pallavi, but it is difficult to quantify at this moment because the brands has started increasing the price as we mentioned in our earlier call that it is going to be. So by December, we expect that all the brands will take care of the all price increase from the FX. So at this moment, it is difficult. Maybe we can take offline.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Singla, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So I have two questions. One is a bookkeeping question. So what are your ROC and ROE numbers for this half year? And my second question is more on the jewelry segment, right? It is like luxury jewelry is growing like crazy in India. Zoya from Titan has also reported some really good set of numbers. So what is stopping us from going more aggressive there? Is it the management bandwidth? And if it is management bandwidth, should we onboard some more leaders and be more aggressive on the jewelry segment?
Yeah, excellent question, Shivam. The ROC for the first half year on an annualized basis is 14.8%. And the return on
equity.
Return on equity is 11.1%.
Okay.
The opportunity in jewelry is, of course, very significant, as I already mentioned. But that is true for so many opportunities in India, you know. So we have to prioritize what are the opportunities we want to go after. Right now, the opportunity that we see in the watch market is tremendous. We have a leading position on it. We have a pole position on it. We are the only, the pan-India footprint and a fantastic omni-channel footprint, digital channel footprint in the world of luxury watches. The world, this business of luxury and premium watches is upbeat. So we're going to see this expanding. And I think it's our strategy to focus on that and not to focus on too many things at the same time. However, we are fully aware about the potential of the jewelry business. We have taken an early position on that. We're going to learn about that business. You know, the business of watches, in price points, it may be similar to jewelry, but the business is very different. Watches is very technical in nature. Jewelry is less technical. It's much more sort of aesthetics and so on. So give us some time. We need to understand the business, and we first need to prioritize to strengthen our position and grab the major opportunities that are coming our way in the watch business. But we are sure that in the jewelry segment also, we will establish a strong footing in the years to come. Your second question was, no, ROC, it was already answered. Yeah. I hope I've answered your questions.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Makes sense.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sriram R, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have 2 questions. I understand we are moving from lower price point to higher price point and your ASP is going up, which is good. But what about your cash flows? Like FY23, we were negative on the operating side. Half year ended also, we are negative. So when do we see the business throwing cash so that, you know, we will not raise capital again and, you know, your capex could be taken care by the internal approvals. And my second... Yeah, one more question. My second question is on FY20. How many watches... did we sell above the 1 lakh category, and FY23, what was the corresponding figure? That's it.
Okay, I'm not sure if we will be able to pull out the figures of, you know, 1 lakh plus FY20 versus FY23 that quickly. However, I can tell you that the quantity is significantly larger. That I can tell you even without checking. But maybe our CFO can connect with you offline and, you know, give you some estimates. As your first question, which is, you know, when is the business going to throw out cash? When are we not going to need capital? I think that point is a very, very, very valid point, and that's something which is very central to our strategy. Right now, you know, we've been growing at about 32-33%, and at that rate of growth, we need this extra capital. We also need this because we are signing up new brands. And this is like, you know, it's an opportunity that's not coming again and again. These brands are now starting to look at India. They will sign up a partner, and one that signed, that's, you know, usually fixed for a long time to come. So these are opportunities that don't come every other day, and and there is a finite sort of list of brands that we is on our target list to sign up. That said, I believe that as there are a couple of variables which we are working on, as margin goes up, as our stock turn goes up, with these two variables, we believe that we will soon be at a point where we will not need further capital. Our stores, by the way, already throw out cash. It's because we are signing up new stores and we are signing up new brands, capital. But, you know, if we were to say that, you know, we can accept a 15% or a 18% growth CAGR, of course we don't need more capital. But we believe that the opportunity today in India is that is going to be, this is the time to grow and grab that opportunity. So this, in our view, we are absolutely convinced that this is the last capital raise we will need, and you will see that the businesses will start to throw out cash once this round of you know, sign-ups of new stores and new brands is done.
So just one suggestion, since you said you are using cash for the new business, so if you can put some number regarding the new business strain in the presentation, that will be very helpful and good to talk with.
Sorry, say that again, please.
So if you can put some number around the new business strain in the presentation, that will be very helpful to track also. Because we are investing in new business, so if you can put that some number around that in the presentation, that will be very good.
You mean in the new stores and the new brands?
Yeah, yeah. In the new business, how much you are losing? So that we know what is the legacy, how much is the cash.
Maybe I've given a wrong information. We are not losing business. We are not losing money on legacy businesses. That's not the thing. We are, as we sign on new brands, if we sign on a new brand, we have to put it in a certain number of stores. And the investment in the stock is front-ended. The sales follows 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, right? There is a training to be done. There is marketing to be done. There is brand awareness to be built. So that is a front-ending of the investment when we sign up new brands. Similarly, when we sign up a new store, a significant part of the investment in a new store is front-ended. And in the period that we are expanding new stores and expanding our portfolio of brands, there is this need for extra capital. It's not needed for a store in a steady state. A steady state store is actually throwing out cash.
Okay. Okay. No. I understood what you're saying. I was just saying based on these lines, like if you can put some number on how, you know, what is the legacy, you know, store that is making, you know, how much it is.
We will consider that. But, you know, there is... I cannot commit that we're going to be able to show and share store-wise economics, frankly. I'll be very frank on that. But we'll try to, we understood your question, and we'll try to see how we can address it best.
We will evaluate your suggestion and we'll look into that.
Sure, but I got your point also. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Yes, sir. Yes.
Sir, I wanted to know, in the presentation, you have said that 4 new exclusive stores has been added, but the total stores is now 61. So have we closed 3 stores?
The total stores is now 61.
Right. And in the presentation, there are 4 new exclusive stores added, right?
I'm not clear.
4 new exclusive brand. We have added 1 store during the quarter and 4 new exclusive brand.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
So I want to thank everybody. I hope we've been able to answer all the questions satisfactorily. If you still need further clarifications or want to know more about the company, please contact SGA team, our investor relations advisors, and we'd be very happy to share whatever information we can. Thank you again for participating, and I wish you a nice day and a nice festival season ahead.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ethos Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.